It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy, 6 a.m. Friday morning. My name is Joey. That's Len. This is number 356. What's going on, buddy? How are you? Are you dressed for golf? Am I seeing that right?
No, I'm playing tennis this morning.
Oh, nice.
No. There's no golf today. No, it's cold, too. I can't believe how chilly it is for late June.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever. Maybe I have to dress up with a toucan parka. I don't know. But yeah, all's good here. How are you? Enjoyed the debate last night.
I did, yeah.
You catch the debate last night?
Hey, that's crazy. You catch the debate last night? Listen, that guy, I don't know. I haven't been following like the sort of politics of Washington. We only talk about politics if it's like for this show or CBP. But man, last night, Len, like if that's what people have been watching for the last like 6 months, I'm shocked that he's still the candidate. Like Biden's still the candidate. That was out of control last night.
Well, even the CNN pundits were spinning it as a disaster for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if this was a coordinated effort just to get rid of him. Just everything just seemed just too perfect. And somebody noted it in a chat we're in. This is the earliest debate that's on record, or at least in recent history. Yeah. So it gives them enough time to at least jettison him and starts with somebody anew. But it's still too late. I can't believe they could even consider that as an option.
I think so too. Yeah.
We're just, 4 months away, 3 months away from the election? I mean, I guess anything is possible, but they could have given the next person at least a longer runway.
If you showed up at the bank with like your grandfather, okay, and he was in that kind of state and you were trying to do like some banking with your grandfather, the bank would not let you do the transaction you came there to do. If you showed up like that and your grandfather was the guy whose account you were trying to work with, right? Even if you were just doing some simple stuff, changing addresses or pulling a little bit of money out or writing a check, you'd never be able to do it with your grandfather in that state. And that guy's going to be the president or has been the president. That's really the worst thing. Like whether you like Trump or not, or like Biden or not, no one can feel good about this guy at the helm for the last 4 years. Can they?
He's gotten a lot. I don't say worse. I think I don't want to just paint him in this. He's changed a lot in the last 4 years compared to the debate 4 years ago to what it is today, night and day.
Even the State of the Union, Len. Like, remember in February, the State of the Union, he was, I mean, I think I would compare him to like, you know, being.
He was sharp and energetic.
He's on a Molly high, it looked like. He was talkative, chatty, maybe going a little too far with the intro discussions when he's walking into the hall there, but. At least he looked, like you said, he looked coherent, right? But anyway.
And he was engaging the crowd, like taunting his opponents.
Yeah. He goes from engaging the crowd to being unwilling to have one in 4 months.
Yeah. It's a sad display, unfortunately. We demand, or we deserve 4 more years of him.
Yeah. So, I'm voting for him.
I got my Biden sign ready to go.
Last week's quote. Stop being moon, stop living by reflected light, get into action and convert yourself to a living sun. That was from William Walker Atkinson. No one got that. This week's quote, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the universe. If you know who that's by, put it in the comments. No Googling, no searching. You guys know the drill. Encarta Encyclopedia on CD-ROM only as far as getting that quote source. And if you put it in the comments first, your next renewal on EasyDNS, Mark will pay for it. Okay, so this week, Len, we got quite a few stories here. By my count, 5.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Kaspersky, let's talk about a study that they've done, and their name will come up later on in this episode. Well, the study they've done has come to a conclusion that there's still a great deal of many people using garbage passwords, and there are several lists of examples of weak passwords that have been compiled. And with that, hackers are easily able to hack into people's accounts. And included in this list are words like dictionary words and popular words, common phrases, and even personal information. So dictionary words are the easy ones, you know, such as like password, love, baseball, stuff that you could find in a dictionary. And hackers can use a computer to try every word in a dictionary in just a matter of seconds. So dictionary words such as password are a pretty bad idea. And also popular words are pretty bad, but people are also using 123456 or even QWERTY as passwords. So hackers know that people use these popular words and they're likely to crack them using some sort of database of passwords. So all I got to say is it's pretty bad for people using these passwords. I'll give you an idea what can be a good password, something that's long and complex. And passwords, they recommend that are 12 characters or longer. And they include a mix of uppercase, lowercase, numbers, syllables, the whole nine yards. And if you do that, it makes it very difficult, if not impossible, for somebody to brute force it. It will take a long time. Also, passwords that don't contain words in a dictionary are key. If you are putting that in, it's going to be easier for a computer to brute force it. Also, try not to include any personal information, such as your birthday, a pet's name, address, you name it. And also, try not to repeat the same password multiple times. Try to make it unique per account. If you do that, if they attack and crack the singular password, they don't have access to everything you have out there. But it still seems that a lot of people are using some bad password, and they have to practice better privacy hygiene.
Agreed, brother. It's funny. I was reading the story, and one thing that stuck out to me, and we talked about this before, how many people don't change their password from the one they're given by like their corporate overlord? Probably not many, right? And
or you know, add just like a number at the end or something.
But most of the time, the number's added for you. And the worst part is that what are those passwords always? They're always dictionary words, or it's like your, you know, office location or your last name or whatever, plus like a number and a character. That's always what you start with when you start a corporate job. I've done this a few times now. And like when you don't change that password, you just contribute to the stat. The thing that I don't get on the other side is if I look at my phone, Len, I was actually going to pull it out, but it's on the charger across the room here. When I go to a website and create an account for something, my phone will suggest to me an impossible to guess password. It's just a string of random characters, letters, whatever, numbers, and offer to save it for me. Now, the saving thing you may not be a fan of. I understand that, and I understand why. But at least like the phone tells you basically like, hey, if you're going to use this service and create a password, use a strong password. Don't worry about writing it down. We'll save it for you on device. So when you need it later, you can get it. It's really a better solution than just using the word popcorn or peanut butter or whatever over and over and over again. I have a buddy who used to use the word popcorn for all his passwords. Like you can't do this anymore. This is not 1999. Everyone has access to these tools thanks to the dark web. We've talked before about how what used to be like a state level attack is now just something that a kid in his basement can do if he's got $200 and a little bit of free time and a decent VPN. So you run this risk, you know, it is a great deal more significant now than it was 10 or 12 years ago. And people don't seem to realize this. How many passwords are compromised and people don't know because they just don't have anything of value worth stealing in like an email account or something? That's another thing I always think about. There's probably tons of compromised passwords that just never really hit the radar because people either abandon accounts or just don't care. But I think this is going to get a lot worse over the next few years, I think, because everything needs a password now. So, you know, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what's going on with President Joe Biden, current President Joe Biden. We'll see what happens.
The picture on this website, like you give the story. I'll put the picture of people on video.
So it looks like there's some controversy surrounding allegations about President Joe Biden's administration that they're putting pressure on Amazon to restrict the removal of books that are critical of some of their policies and their platform. And this includes not just stuff around vaccine, but also transgender policies. I had to do some digging into this story. Yes, he was talking about the pandemic and vaccines, but if you also go to MSN, mainstream media, websites, they'll even talk about this being about transgender policy. So they're even talking about that as well. Either way, obviously this move has come with some backlash because the authors and advocates of free speech are saying, what the heck, this is infringing on the rights of free speech and open debate. And freedom of expression is something that is very important to United States citizens. So the authors, they're arguing that their work can provide an alternative perspective on issues related to somebody's policies. And this could be challenging mainstream narratives. And they're pushing back on the removal of somebody's books and restrictions on Amazon as a form of censorship and a way to undermine intellectual diversity and suppress, as I mentioned, alternate viewpoints. And this led to the accusation that the Team Biden or their administration, through some influence on Amazon, is attempting to control the public narrative and sensitive social issues. So this is a bigger issue altogether, because companies like Amazon, big major companies like Amazon, they could play a big role in what's going to happen in this coming election. We've seen this in the past, but I'm not just going to look at Amazon. Stuff like Google, Meta, they have a big part to play here. And depending on how they act, it can potentially influence a few votes. And if it's a very close election and it tips the balance one way or the other, well, their actions are going to be, make well, they could be the kingmaker here. And that could be very sad. So this is another example of big companies bowing down to pressure from the Biden administration.
Yeah, politics aside, the thing that I think is, you know, of concern here, and we talked about this on the show before, this kind of tendency to try and dominate the opinion sphere by silencing others as opposed to having just the most well-researched and most popular opinion. It only seems to come from one party. Like, I don't, maybe it's just because it's the ruling party and it's kind of an easy target and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And these are obviously very controversial topics here, transgender, you know, rights or lifestyles, and then the vaccine, COVID stuff, you know, that doesn't get much more nuclear than either of those these days. Maybe that's the reason we only see it from the Democrats. But I mean, I can't think of a story where the Republicans tried to get something silenced, either on social media or now on a Amazon bookstore. Like, this is a bit much for me. And I don't know how people are okay with this on the Democratic side. I suppose because they would prefer winning to having a debate, but I just, these things are too, they're too sort of well known among most people, and everyone has an opinion on this stuff. So it just seems unlikely to me that this, you know, sort of thing would work in the first place. But also, Len, the other frustrating thing, if I was a sort of Democratic Party loyalist, did you think this stuff wasn't going to come out? You know, like this stuff always leaks. We always find out stuff about this. We just went through the Twitter files, which was like a 6 month, 5 month, whatever, you know, new document drop basically every Friday from some prominent independent journalist. You didn't think they were going to find out about this? It's, you know, sort of frustrating. On the bright side, it doesn't seem like this was a successful campaign. So, you know, that's one thing to kind of take in stride here. I think these guys tried to put these books on a do not promote list or whatever with Amazon, but it doesn't look like it worked. You know, even if Amazon tried to make it work, it doesn't look like it really had any effect. A lot of these books still have 5-star reviews. If you just go on Amazon and pull up a couple of these, you know, you can see that they're doing fairly well. And again, this is like a Streisand effect thing. Now that this is out, how many people are going to go look at these books? Probably a lot more than would have otherwise, you know, like I don't think about this stuff too often, but now I'm definitely going to at least check out all the, you know, all the books on the list here. And that's, you know, it's just like an own goal. This is the party of own goals at this point. This is just another one out of the list.
Yeah. They got a lot of free publicity. These authors did.
Yeah.
And with respect to, like, tell me which way these companies are leaning. Amazon.
I know. I know.
Google.
Yeah.
Apple.
Of course.
NBC, CNN.
And I
could go on and on.
New flag every month, those companies, right? Whether you agree or disagree, this is the way these guys operate, and that's their politics.
Yeah, and that's it. And so that they're just catering to the people that they want to see in power, and that's you know, the way things are, right? Like,
yeah,
they have the ability to do that. It's just the Twitter files, what happened from all that? Sure, right? Like, nothing happened, right? Yeah. Like, we exposed it, but nothing really changes. Anyways, Rumble, the CEO, Chris Pavlovsky, he went on record to criticize Google's search practices because he's arguing that Google's search results are biased against political content that favors the Republican Party. What a segue from the last topic. And as an example, he points to a recent GOP debate that was live streamed, and this was exclusive on Rumble. And when users searched for the debate on Google, on the Google platform, it didn't show the Rumble live stream in the top search results. And as a result, Pavlovsky believes that this is unfair and it constitutes as a form of election interference. But in response to Google search practices, Rumble, they have filed a lawsuit against the tech giant. And Rumble's lawsuit, they allege that Google is suppressing conservative political content. I would have to say good luck with this lawsuit. Google, no matter what you could say about them, and you know, there's a lot to say that's negative, it's a company. They could almost do really what they want as long as it's within the laws. Now, was this outside of the laws? I don't think so. If you could still find it in the search results, it may not have to be the top, then they're still fulfilling their obligations to at least provide it to the end user, but the end user may have to take a little bit more time to find it. So this is just another reason why when you have a monopoly, and Google has a monopoly on the search engine game, it's difficult and it's unfortunate, but this is the reality. The only thing we could do is try to build alternative search engines. Good luck. But that's really the only thing we can do, or criticize them as much as possible and point to them as doing something terrible. But even then, what's people going to do? Go to the alternative? What is the alternative? Bing? Like, there's nothing out there.
How do you go to Ask Jeeves for all my...
Jeeves is great. So, yeah, I understand he's pissed off, and I understand he's trying to do everything he can within the legal system to get some sort of retribution, but it's probably going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, there's not even much that to talk about in this story. If it's in the results, that's really all Google is meant to do. They don't even have to include you in the results, honestly. If you don't like the search engine, go to another one. There are other options. The Brave browser has a search engine, a few other places on the internet that are probably collecting dust at this point, but will still index for you. You know, again, this guy, Pavlovsky, I mean, Rumble's gained a lot of steam in the last year. You know, they signed a deal with Barstool. They've done some other stuff to get popular. Russell Brand does a stream there. But I'll tell you, like, from where I'm sitting, he's also kind of lagged behind in terms of what's, you know, available on this platform. You and I have tried to use that platform to stream, for example. It doesn't work that well. People want live streams, right? They want stuff like that. He hasn't added it, at least not in a way that makes a lot of sense for people like us. And I don't see a lot of live streams on Rumble these days, except for, I guess, this debate thing he's talking about. But, you know, the idea that he gets to choose where things are sort of linked in the Google search. No, man, come on. This is, it's crazy. Maybe good publicity, maybe win some hearts and minds like this, but this is, I think, a fruitless exercise by and large.
Good luck to him, but he's got every right to at least pursue this.
Yeah.
Kaspersky, we talked about them earlier. Let's talk about them again. And as per a article from InfoSecurity Magazine, this I can't believe, it's reported that the U.S. government has banned their lab, the Kaspersky lab. And they're like a well-known cybersecurity provider. They provide a lot of data, insight, reports into...
We talk about something these guys release almost every week, every 2 weeks?
I would say every week. It's very common, but now, unfortunately, they're banned because, well, they say this decision comes because of their linkage to the Russian government. And that, they say, can pose a threat to national security. And the department, or who's behind this all, is the U.S. Department of Commerce. So they're the ones, if you want to pinpoint somebody that's been doing this and you want to start putting pins on a voodoo doll, this is the people you want to do. They have mandated that this lab cease selling products within the United States by September 2024. And Kaspersky has said they have every right and they're going to have every intention to try to fight this ban. So I can understand why they're coming from this. I mean, on one hand, you have the need to protect citizens, and especially with it comes from national security, but these guys, they're a major provider of cybersecurity products and information and so forth. So there could be some potential harm as a result of all this. So it's a delicate balance here, what they're trying to achieve, but I don't know. I don't know what they could do. Maybe they could spin their own alternative, but good luck, right? Like, there's no way they could do anything as good, as effective as Kaspersky can in a very short period of time. But you know what? The U.S. government, they think they're going to be able to do something with this. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm frustrated by stories like this because, on one hand, they're making a decent point that, yeah, if this is like a Russian entity, okay, maybe there's some linkage with the Russian government. Fine. So what do we make of all the American cybersecurity companies? Like, are we really going to pretend that these companies are not just wings of the U.S. government, arms of the U.S. government, the same way that Boeing is, the same way that Lockheed is, the same way that, you know, XYZ company is? These guys are making the claim that because Kaspersky is on or is domiciled in Russia, that they might be giving out U.S. you know, secrets or whatever, or like, you know, people are losing their data to a Russian entity. I mean, Len, how many times have we talked about the government stealing your data on this show? Every week, basically, we talk about it, right? And then some kid in his basement steals it from the government. Like, you know, like it's just a closed loop of stolen data. So what does it matter if the Russians get it or Joe Biden gets it? Like, someone's going to get it no matter what. And so I should be able to use the product I want. The thing that drives me nuts here is the implication is that only the Russian state government has ties to this, you know, antivirus thing, but no one on the U.S. government side has ties to the antivirus that they're going to force you to use now from, you know, that's domiciled in America. Just makes me laugh. It's just like every week, it seems like I'm kind of like shaking my head a bit at some government or some company saying that you got to watch out for everyone else doing this, but then they're also doing it. And it just, you know, has like a little bit of a lipstick on a pig, you know, framing. This is another great example of that.
So Wired came out with an article and it was talking about how hospitals are under constant threat from crippling ransomware. And these attacks have become more recent as of late. And the reason why this is so appealing and lucrative is due to the damage that it causes from canceling people's medical appointments, including surgeries. So you can see why this is a growing threat. And when a ransomware attack surfaces, it's likely that it could take weeks or even longer for things to return back to normal, because you expect the backlog of patients waiting to see has grown because they have to be canceled. They have to then plug them in at the end of the queue. And so just disrupt things. And when you disrupt people's healthcare, it could jeopardize patient privacy, but also their safety. So in response to all this, healthcare providers are increasingly issuing assurance letters to patients. And I love this. These are documents aimed at pacifying patients about the security of their personal data. And they are assuring patients that their personal information remains secure. And they're outlining in these letters the steps they're taking to bolster their cybersecurity measures. So with these assurance letters, it's part of a broader effort by the healthcare institutions to rebuild trust with patients, because there's growing concerns about data breaches and cyber threats. So in it, they're trying to show that the proactive measures they're doing, staff training, investments in advanced technology to safeguard patient data, the whole nine yards. But they aren't just doing this out of goodwill. It's also regulatory requirement in some jurisdictions. So they have to inform patients about data breaches and security incidences. So if you get one of these papers, yeah, I would say run very far. But the reality is, what could you do?
Right? Where are you going to run? Yep.
Yeah. So we have to use these healthcare providers. If you're sick, you have no alternative to go to. And it's just unfortunate that these are honeypots for ransomware attacks to take place, given what they're holding over there and how sensitive the information is of nature. What could be done moving forward? I don't know. Let's see what the Kaspersky alternative is going to be. To date, it hasn't been all that good, but maybe the alternative will be better.
It's amazing to me that the law says they have to send these letters out, but doesn't say anything about having to, you know, update your security suite to protect against modern threat, you know, modern threats that are sort of floating around. And they're well known. It's not like, you know, these things are not well known. The American hospital system, much like the Canadian one, famous at this point for the number of administrators to actual medical practitioners, you know, that ratio worse than something you see under Kamala Harris tweet. And, you know, when I think about red tape making things worse, which is kind of the, you know, the theme of the article, it's not just the hospital level. It's at this sort of, you know, prosecutorial slash what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of process level as well, right? Like the number of things that have to happen before an outcome is decided on, before they decide to tell people, before they decide to, you know, X, Y, Z. It's such a long list of stupid things. And it's a good example, Len, of a organization or institution that's really built for the last war, right? You know, these hospitals put all these administrators in to help with expanding populations and whatnot. And now, you know, those administrators just don't need to be there. And so what does the sort of administrative cockroach do? Well, they try and make work for themselves to stay relevant. Really, this is always going to be at the cost of efficiency to the client and to the efficiency of the organization too. You know, you're slowing everyone else who's also trying to do the same thing, slowing them down. And it's just this negative feedback cycle, right? Where everyone's just trying to stay employed in a world where they're increasingly irrelevant by any sort of measurable standard. So yeah, I mean, this is not surprising to me. I think the curious thing that we're going to have to kind of tackle or tango with over the next few years is really shrinking the size of a lot of these bureaucracies, hospitals, government, education. There's just too many people who no longer need to be there. And you can't wait for attrition, because I think in sort of generations past, the likely outcome was, yeah, people retire. We won't backfill those positions. That was a good solution. But now people aren't retiring at 60 or 65. They want to keep working, or in some cases have to keep working. And so that natural attrition is not going to happen there either. You can't just keep expanding the bureaucracy, right? Everyone can't just be digging holes and then filling them back up for work. But that's increasingly what you're seeing in places like hospitals. And like the article notes, it just leads to negative outcomes. And then when you throw in the cybersecurity issues, you know, it's not great. It's not great. But like you said, where are you going to go? What's your plan? What's your escape route? There isn't one. So, you know, good luck, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the show. That was quick, actually. I'm surprised. That was a regular length episode. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe, podcast, YouTube, go to accessofeasy.com, read the rest of the stories. And until next week, take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care.